sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout to the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand.
Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, Isaiah's Kingdom Prophecy Was Fulfilled When the Church Was Established. The Old Testament Scriptures of 39 books record the history of man and woman, the creation, from beginning about 4000 BC and ending with Malachi's prophecy 400 BC. The Old Testament covers a period of about 3600 years. During the interbiblical period of 400 years, between the end of the Old Testament Scriptures and the beginning of the New Testament Scriptures, God was silent in his revelations to humanity. There were none. The New Testament Scriptures of 27 books began with the genealogy and birth of Jesus the Christ, 4 BC, and end with the book of Revelation about 96 AD. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reveal the historical account of the birth, life, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus back to heaven. The Scriptures in the book of Acts tell of the growth, the establishment, and persecutions against the first century church. A portion of the book of Acts chronicles the travels, the preaching, the life and works of the Apostle Paul, and the New Testament period covers about 92 years. The Old Testament Scriptures were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Old Testament Scriptures give an account of a number of predictive prophecies. Professor Thomas H. Horn defined predictive prophecy as a miracle of knowledge, a declaration or description or representation of something future beyond the power of human sagacity or perceptiveness, to discern or to calculate, and it is the highest evidence, he says, that can be given of supernatural communion with deity and of the truth of a revelation from God. Predictive prophecy accurately describes the future event in every detail, even naming times and persons and places that will be easily identified in the fulfillment of prophecy. Predictive prophecy will never be stated in fuzzy or unclear words. It will be precise and complete. 99.99% may be pure enough for soap, but not for God's predictive prophecy. God's prophecy is always 100% accurate. How do we know a prophet is telling the truth or is truthful? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me at that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?'" Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 and 22. John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. When someone says this is true or that doctrine is right, what measures that teaching? How can a teaching be determined to be true or false? The scriptures provide that answer. When King Herod wanted to find out where the Christ child was to be born, the priest and the scribes told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Matthew chapter 2 and verse 5. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." John chapter 5 and verse 39. Of the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Jesus answered the devil's propositions by saying three times, "It is written." How can a prophecy be tested? The scriptures tell us. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass or take place or come true, that thing is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. That is, he supposed it to be true without proof, he assumed it, or he was simply speculating. "You shall not be afraid of that prophet." Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. Open your Bibles and study with us from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is oftentimes called the Messianic prophet because of his numerous prophecies about the Christ who was to come. Read Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, chapter 9 verses 6 and 7, chapter 11 verses 1 through 9, and the entire chapter of Isaiah 53. Turn now to Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We'll explain Isaiah's predictive prophecy concerning the kingdom or the church that Jesus would establish 760 years later in the ancient city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 30. The scriptures say, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Micah made the same predictive prophecy 50 years later in about 710 B.C. in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah makes at least 13 predictive prophecies about the kingdom or church that Christ would establish more than 7 centuries in the future from the time he foretells them. Number 1, the mountain of the Lord's house would be established. Number 2, the Lord's house would be established in the last days. Number 3, the Lord's house would be exalted. Number 4, all nations would flow to God's house. Number 5, many people will come and be there. Number 6, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. Number 7, Christ will teach us of His ways. Number 8, we will walk in His paths. Number 9, the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Number 10, the Lord's kingdom would begin in the city of Jerusalem. Number 11, those in the Lord's house will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Number 12, nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Number 13, they shall not practice war anymore. We'll examine some of Isaiah's prophecies that had their fulfillment in the New Testament scriptures in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Number 1, the Lord's house would be established. What was the Lord's house? Paul said to Timothy, "I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Lord's house was the Lord's church, the Lord's family. Number 2, the Lord's house would be established in the last days. Some versions say latter days. The last dispensation or the last age. There have been 3 ages or dispensations in which God revealed His will to man. First, the patriarchal, from Adam to Moses, 4000 B.C. to 1500 B.C. Secondly, the Mosaical period, from Moses to Christ, 1500 B.C. to the cross, A.D. 30. And finally, the last age, the Christian age. It began at the cross of Christ, A.D. 30, and it will end when Jesus comes again. After Jesus arose from the dead, He was on the earth for 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1. During that time, Jesus taught the apostles things pertaining to the kingdom that was to be established on the approaching day of Pentecost. Jesus led the apostles out of the city and upon Mount of Olives, near Bethany, for His final words of instruction for them before He ascended to heaven. Luke chapter 24, verse 50, and Acts chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, or wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or endued with power from on high." Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. The Bible says it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Luke chapter 24 and verse 51. As instructed, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. They returned there to wait 10 days for the power of the Holy Spirit that would begin the last days, usher in the kingdom, the house of God, which was the church, to come on the day of Pentecost. Read Acts chapter 1, verse 13 through 26. Hear Luke's description of the Pentecost events, about the time, the place, focus, and Peter's sermon to the great crowd of people gathered in the city of Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, them being the apostles. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because every one heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, in which we were born?" And then he names a number of nations they were from. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh." Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. We have the Apostle Peter's assurance that Pentecost was the beginning of the last days, because he said, "This, the things that are happening before your very eyes, is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Number 3, God's house would be exalted above all the governments of the world. Christ's government was far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Number 4, all nations would flow to God's house. No discrimination. All Jews and all Gentiles alike could accept the same gospel on the same conditions and be received into God's house, His kingdom, the church. Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Again, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Number 5, Isaiah said, "Many people will come together." Luke says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, "There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together." Number 6, the mountain of the Lord's house. Mountain, in the symbolism of Old Testament scriptures, denotes government. Note this passage in Isaiah, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. Concerning the governing of the kingdom and the church, Isaiah also prophesied this about Christ, of the increase of His, Christ's, government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Number 7, Christ will teach us of His ways. Christianity is a taught system. It's not something that you mysteriously receive. John chapter 6 and verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned comes to the Father." Number 8, we will walk in His paths. Man cannot direct his own ways. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, "It is not in man that walks to direct his ways." Number 9, the law will go forth from Zion. The word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. The law and the word of the Lord are used as synonymous terms. And likewise, Zion and Jerusalem are used synonymously. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words." Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Number 10, the Lord's house would begin in the city of Jerusalem. All who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Acts 2:14. Number 11, those in the Lord's house will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. God's church will live peacefully with others. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. The familiar statement that's often misused, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, a child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, the lion will eat straw like the ox, the nursing child play in the cobra's hole, the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. When, Isaiah, they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, in my kingdom. The Apostle Paul admonished Christians, "Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Nation will not lift up sword against nation." Number 12. And number 13, they shall not practice war anymore. The church, or the kingdom of Christ, is a spiritual and not a physical kingdom, and advances its evangelism not by the sword, but through the word. John chapter 18, verse 36, Matthew 26, verse 51 and 53. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy of the last days, house of God, the church, the kingdom, had its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. There is no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy about the time, the day of Pentecost, Sunday morning, 9 a.m., the third hour of the day, had its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy about the place, the city of Jerusalem, mentioned no less than 6 times in Acts chapters 1 and 2, had its fulfillment in Acts chapters 1 and 2. There's no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy concerning the mountain of the Lord, designating Christ's complete rule, having all power and authority in teaching and establishing laws governing His church, was begun and had its beginning, its fulfillment, in Acts chapter 2. There's no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy concerning the beginning place, Zion or Jerusalem, of the preaching of the word of the kingdom, the message of salvation, had its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. There's no doubt that Isaiah's prophecy about the peaceful nature of the church or the kingdom had its beginning and fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. Peace and non-resistance was demonstrated in the lives and by the conduct of the apostles and the disciples in the first century church. Most assuredly, the church, God's house, His kingdom to come, prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, was fulfilled and had its fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, as revealed in Acts chapters 1 and 2. If you have a question or a comment about our lesson this morning, please contact us. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
You've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.